loading program.
It's time for loot update, bitches!
No ratings, no date calculating.
No more waiting, no updating.
This is a nerd update.
Nerd it up.
Shizzle, bizzle, fizzle, whizzle, time for your nerd up dizzle. Mike Sizzle with Armand Dizzle. And we're gonna do a nerd update for you.
Hizzle every hot rizzle.
Yeah. Big finish. Big finish. Yeah. terrible and amazing at the same time. Armando, I commend you. Thank you for joining in on that one. Mike Simmer here joined with Armando Aranda, Team Awesome Inc. doing our fucking nerd update for you people. Aren't you lucky? Goddamn, Armando. We got so much nerd news, so much awesomeness. Let's just get right to it. Fuck it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm really excited about these nerd updates. Don't forget, check out our website, yotina.podomatic.com. Also, download, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Simmer Mike. That's right, Simmer Mike. All caps, no space. Like, we're yelling at you. Simmer Mike, I said follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc., right? Or did I not?
Yeah, I think that's the first thing you said.
Oh, well, I said it again. And you could never say it enough, really. Just follow those tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Of course, the website, I think was the first thing I said, yotina.podomatic.com. If not, I'll say it again.
I don't think
you did. Yotina.podomatic.com. That's the third time, maybe, just for...
Yotina.podomatic.com.
Debarmac. I do that too. When I give the website, I go, Yotina, Debarmac.
Debarmac.
It's dot podomatic. Sorry.
Like El Meno.
We get the Yotina right. We're like, Yotina dot podomatic. Fuck it. It's like, no, we love Podomatic. They give us unlimited bandwidth and storage. Thank you, Podomatic. We've been Pro Broadcaster Plus with them since 2011. Thank you. We appreciate it. Let's get to these nerd updates, and we're not fiddle fucking around anymore. Right, Armando? That's the new phrase.
Yep.
That's what we've decided. I've decided, I guess. No more fiddle fucking around. So here's the scoop, guys. On Wednesday evening, Joker actor Jared Leto participated in an interview with Entertainment Weekly while promoting the new HBO documentary series, The Defiant Ones. I don't know if you've seen the ads for these around, but it's basically like about rock stars and stuff like that. People who were The Defiant Ones. Naturally, the conversation took a turn towards the latest DCEU cinematic success, Wonder Woman. That's right, Wonder Woman is a success.
It's
people love it.
Success.
We got a late-ass review coming to you guys for Wonder Woman, because we got to be fair for both DC and Marvel. We got to go represent both sides.
Yep, come hearing great things.
And not only that, but it's the first fucking female superhero movie. Not really. Catwoman was one of them, but she was kind of like a villain anyway.
So was Supergirl.
And Supergirl. Don't forget Supergirl, but, you know, those don't count. This is Wonder Woman, and it's the first time Wonder Woman got her own real movie. Like
the real treatment.
Like, not just a TV series with Linda Carter, which was amazing. We're talking, like, the real deal Wonder Woman.
Not just a B-movie.
Yeah, Wonder Woman. Like, a real fucking movie. And, like, directed by, like, Patty Jenkins and starring Gal Gadot, who was in the Israeli army. So, like, she's like a real soldier chick. Like, she really fought some shit, dude. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, she was in the Israeli army. Well, in Israel, I guess, like, when you're growing up in Israel, you have to join the army.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess some of my friends from Israel told me that, or at least they were visiting and they told me that. So, you know, so she had to serve her time in the military.
Go ahead.
Gal Gadot, a beautiful model, was in this military. So, you know, Amazonian warrior right there.
Great.
Perfect casting. I can't wait to see it. We haven't seen it yet, but we will see it and do a late-ass review. Jared Leto, when asked about what he thought in regard to Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot's box office smash, Leto said, "I saw the film. I loved it. I thought it was incredible. They did such a good job. I watched it. I watched Wonder Woman as a kid. I really enjoyed it." After giving his extended DCEU family such high praise for their efforts, Leto commented on the notion of his Joker one day meeting face-to-painted-face with the Amazonian warrior princess. Leto responded by saying, "Oh my God, if I was only so lucky." Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Mm.
But I don't know. We'll talk about that in a minute. After talking a bit about his band, 30 Seconds to Mars. Oh, yeah. Don't forget he's in that band, 30 Seconds to Mars. His chinwag with the media outlet reverted back to Warner Brothers and DC's Cinematic Universe when he was asked if the Joker would be making an appearance in the planned Harley Quinn spinoff Gotham City Sirens. Leto responded coyly by saying, "I have no idea. There are a lot of moving parts with that stuff, and we'll see what happens next." Hmm. Harley Quinn spinoff Gotham City Sirens. All right. Oh, come on, Jared Leto. You're not fooling anyone with that sort of talk. How could you not be a part of that film if your intention is to keep portraying the Joker as a part of the DCEU? Sorry, I was having an old man yells at cloud moment there. In all seriousness, it would definitely be interesting to see what pans out once that ball for Gotham City Sirens really gets rolling. Who's the perfect actress to play Catwoman? And by perfect, I mean perfect. Who will control Poison Ivy's pheromone scent and sentient plant life? It's anyone's guess at this point in time, and I can't wait to see how it all shakes out. Be sure to check out Jared Leto as Neander Wallace. What? Neander Wallace in Blade Runner 2049 when that lands in theaters on October 6th /5th. So it's 5th
now
or
we
6th.
Know the dude's name.
So we know that Jared Leto's playing Neander Wallace in, but I guess that's on IMDb anyway. We could just IMDb it at this point. but I don't know what that means. Who's Wallace anyone?
Well, I guess it's the guy. Name I guess some? It's like the whatever.
Who's Wallace?
The replicant Jesus guy.
So his name is Neander Wallace?
Yeah, I guess all right. So.
Is he related to anybody? Is that anybody from the first fucking movie?
It's related to Braveheart.
Yeah, but no, is his dad like David Wallace? I don't know. Not just William Wallace. I mean, like, for real. Like who the fuck is that? Anyway, so I'm more curious about what's going on with Blade Runner now than I am with what the fuck's going on. Okay, so dude, my whole point is, okay. Jared Leto's Joker, I don't think got the fair treatment it deserved in Suicide Squad. But I saw a lot of the footage they cut, and I saw a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. And I got to say, his Joker just didn't look that good. And the thing is that the Joker's got to be kind of funny, but in a really dark and twisted way. And Leto isn't... Leto's not what you'd call traditionally funny. Like... It's hard to...
Is he funny at all?
Heath Ledger had, like comedic chops.
Right.
You could tell. When his Joker had fucking comedic timing. He was hilarious. Even though he was a dark clown prince of crime, he was fucking funny, man. He was hilarious.
Except funny.
It was like, no, not even nervous funny. It was just kind of like, it was like, wow, you're not fucking around. That's kind of funny. Like, whoa, you really don't give a shit. Wow, that's funny.
Oh, you don't want to be in the same room as the guy.
I don't want to be in the same room as you, but you're funny. That's fucking like, you don't give a shit. Like, it's like punk rock funny, you know? It's like Sex Pistols funny. You're like, oh, it's funny because it's like they don't give a fuck. It's like, okay, haha. That's what the Joker is. Jared Leto, he has that sort of, he's in a band, 30 Seconds to Mars. But it's like, he's not funny, man. Like I'm sorry. Like fucking like Jack Nicholson, hilarious. See, like the fucking original guy who played the Joker, Cesar Romano or whatever, Cesar Romero or who played the original. He was a fucking comedian. They're all comedian. Like they were like funny guys played the Joker. Like, or at least people who had a pedigree in comedy or some sort of. And Jared Leto, he's like, what comedies has Jared Leto been in? Nothing. He hasn't like he usually plays the stoic kind of like distant character. The Joker is an engaging like one-on-one in your face a part of it kind of a guy. I'm sorry, I'm being hypercritical of Leto's Joker, but I'm like, dude, I just felt like he was too. It just like the only because of the footage I saw that everyone's like, oh, there was all this cut footage. I saw a lot of that cut footage and it was shitty. His acting wasn't that like his Joker just wasn't that good. It was just kind of lame. And the makeup was just kind of dumb and boring. And actually, them cutting a lot of his performance out of the movie did more of a service to him and his performance than it would have. A lot of the stuff I saw that was cut, he looked like he was pandering and trying too hard. And I know that's a shitty thing to say, but it's like, but I feel like Suicide Squad was better for having cut so much of his performance out. And who knows, maybe he learned from that experience, and maybe DC learned from that. They're gonna maybe tweak that character a bit, get rid of that fucking grill, maybe. Sorry, Jesus, I hate that fucking grill. Don't you hate that? I hate that.
It's
the
different.
Joker has a grill. Fuck that. Ew. What? Mm. No, he's always had like really nice like teeth, or at least crooked teeth, or I don't know. It's always been about his big smile, and it's not about silver teeth. What is he, Jaws from James Bond? What was Odd Job his sidekick? He's gonna throw his hat at him. Jesus Christ. It's fucking dumb. I'm sorry. I just think it's dumb. Like, I love Jared Leto as an actor, and I think he's going to be great in Blade Runner 2049. I loved him in Dallas Buyers Club. He deserved the Oscar for that. He was brilliant. He's an amazing actor, a very talented, multi-talented guy. I'm sorry. He's not the Joker. He's not the Joker.
Hmm.
You know who is the Joker? I don't know anyone but Jared Leto. You'd think Jared Leto would be a great Joker. You'd think he would. But unfortunately, I'm just not down with his Joker. And I know this is like, Mike, why are you hating on Jared Leto's Joker? You're spending so much time talking shit about it. Because this is the one that they're settling on for 9 fucking movies.
Mm.
Dude, now that Joss Whedon is involved with DC, now that, you know, we've got, like, now that Wonder Woman came out and kind of was like, all right, everyone's like, all right, this is the game changer. DC's not fucking around. It's like they realize they got to start stepping it up. And they got Joss Whedon involved to help with Justice League, you know, okay, good. It's like they got, and for unfortunate reasons, but Joss Whedon stepped up and did the right thing, I think. He's doing the right thing. He's like, you know what, I helped out Marvel, I'll help out DC.
All right.
But man, like, I don't know, Armando, what do you think about Jared Leto being a part of DC and being the Joker? And did you see Suicide Squad?
I did not see Suicide Squad.
Did you want to see it?
I wasn't hyped about
did,
it.
Did at any point, like, were you excited about Jared Leto's performance as the Joker?
I mean, I didn't see Jared Leto's performance as the Joker.
I'm saying in the trailers, were you ever like, wow, I can't wait to see him as the Joker?
Nothing really stuck out to me.
Thank you for being honest.
Besides the grill.
Thank you. Fucking God, what's with the fucking grill? It's dumb.
And
take that shit out.
Yeah.
Take it out of his mouth. I can't hear him.
Lack of clothing?
Yeah, why is he got to show up? Why does he have tats and why does he have to show them off? What the fuck is the... Like, there was a music video he was in with, like, Skrillex, and it was about Suicide Squad. You know, like that song, it was a part of the soundtrack for Suicide Squad. In that music video, he's wearing a tuxedo, and you can't see the tats, but you see him in the tux, and it's like it's a tux with a white tie, not a black tie. And he looks fucking creepy in a tuxedo with that hair and makeup and the no eyebrows. It's really good. The makeup effects, all of it's done really well. And I'm like, why didn't they put him in a suit? Except for that one moment. Remember in the movie where he's in that suit and Harley Quinn's in the Harley Quinn jumpsuit and you're like, they look like they're supposed to fucking look and that's just a fucking dream sequence? Fuck you! Why is the way they're supposed to look a dream here's how they would look in an ideal dream world, but this is the shitty universe we've created.
Here's the finger.
Fuck you, people! Fuck you, Mike, and the $17 you spent to see this piece of shit and the fucking extra $7 on candy you smuggled in. What? I don't do that, AMC. Suck a dick. I don't do that. Reese's Pieces are delicious, but they're too expensive at your fucking theater chains.
Yep.
Sorry, guys. The truth is coming out in this podcast, Armando. I'm all cylinders. Fuck it. I've had enough.
Are you suggesting we not...
Go on.
We would not go by the concession stand and support our local theater. Support our local multiplex.
Armando, not only am I saying that, I am committing to it.
Oh.
I am telling the rest of America, do not support your local multiplex's concession stand. They are ripping you off.
You're throwing down the gauntlet there.
Wake up, America! Get your heads out of your collective assholes. Realize what the fuck is going on. They are screwing you in the dick. In the dick hole. Taking a screwdriver and screwing it in your dick hole and saying, buy our candy. And I'm saying, enough. You need to fight back. Smuggle it in.
Man has to stand up.
Every once in a while, Armando, a man has to stand up for what's right and tell these fuckers to fuck off. It's like, you don't want to be a fucker, but you got to be an even bigger fucker to tell the fuckers to fuck off. And then you're fucked. Take that, movie theaters. But seriously, it's way too much for candy at the movie theaters.
Mm.
Seriously. And popcorn. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you know what I do like is that they have those soda machines where you can have any flavor soda ever. Mm. I'm okay with that. Mm. I will spend money on that concession stand shit. Like, hey. I can, because then I can get any flavor Coke Zero I want.
Did they ever?
Like, they got lime Coke Zero. I could get lime cherry Coke Zero. I could do a mixture. I could do whatever I want. I can get as many refills as I want. It's delicious. Oh,
man. You know what would be awesome?
That's what I like.
Slushy machine.
They have them.
They do?
They got them.
They got the slushy machine?
At some of them, they do.
Like, if you could get, like, a giant slushy thing that's bigger than your head.
It's super overpriced, but I'm sure they got shit like that at some of them.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, they got hot dogs and nachos, but it's super overpriced, but they have it.
Yeah, I don't know. The slushy thing makes sense.
That's what movie theater chains should do. That's what you should do, multiplexes, not anyone in particular. You should start, like, just doing really, like weird, odd food things that you can only get at fairs, like state fairs and stuff, like cheese curds and stuff, like really odd, random food items that's, like...
Dippin' Dots.
Yeah, like dumb shit like that. Like, and they do have it, but they do it randomly. I'm saying just specialize in that shit. Pop Rocks.
Yeah.
Even though it's loud during a theater, dude, come on. You know how loud that movie is? And everyone's eating popcorn anyway. And that's crunch, crunch, sip, sip, and loud explosions, gunfire.
Babies crying,
people on their phones. Fuck it. You think, like, Pop Rocks are really going to fuck my viewing experience up? No, it's going to make it even better. In fact, it's going to be white noise that'll drown out all the bullshit during the movie. Yeah, all the external ambient noise that's, like, ruining my viewing experience. God damn, I hate going to the movies.
Yeah, I hate going
to... I love it, though. I love the experience of seeing a movie, a new release on the big screen with an audience, and we're all seeing it for the first time. I love that, but it's overpriced.
And what I like better is doing the home theater thing with a few friends.
That, you know, if I could get like a big screen projector and do like a home theater with friends and watch movies that way and have our own screening room, that would be ideal. And I think that's where things might go in the future eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I remember.
I can see that.
I remember watching, what was that movie? North Korea. What was it called? Was it called The Dictator or something?
Oh, with Sacha Baron Cohen? It was written by like Larry...
Oh, no.
Charlie Chaplin movie? Dictator?
It was North Korea. North Korea, it was recent. It was on...
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, they released it on Google Play because of threats against the theaters.
Oh! The Interview.
The Interview.
The Interview.
Yes.
Bum, ba, ba, dum, bum, bum. Yeah. Mike with the save.
Yeah.
Sorry. I remembered it with my own mind grapes. Yeah, The Interview. I actually really liked that movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed The Interview.
I rented that out on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Google Play.
That's
yeah.
what I did. I did it on an Amazon myself.
And
yeah.
Just like, hey, yeah, and screw
was,
you.
Dude, you know what?
This is America.
It did feel like that. I watched it. I remember it was during Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
I watched, I think, on Christmas Day. It was released on Christmas Day
on
Amazon and iTunes and all that. And I was like, and I watched it, I think, on Christmas Day. And I remember being like, this is fun. This is cool.
Yeah.
I like this. This is like a new movie. You can't see it anywhere else. It's a big budget release.
Yeah.
It's a big old fuck you to our enemies. Like, right. Hey, fuck you guys. We're watching it anyway.
Yeah.
And it was funny, and I really enjoyed it, and I got to enjoy it on a holiday.
Right.
It wasn't bad. You know what? They should do that more often.
Right.
Like not every movie, but every once in a while do a big budget release, but just have it go only to VOD.
And, you know, they bump up the price.
Because it's
new.
Like a big budget film, but they didn't release in theaters. They're only doing it exclusively online.
Yeah.
But they made that money back and then more the same day. on the budget because it was a low budget comedy.
Right.
Like, you know how much money they okay, for an average low budget R rated comedy, it's about 20 to 40 million. You know how much money they make off those? 100, 150, 200 million, 400 million at the end of the international sales, 600 million. And it only cost them 40 million to 20 million to make.
Sweet.
Dude. That's why they keep making these movies with fucking Adam Sandler and fucking Kevin James, mall cop, Paul Blart, fuckwit, Segway, dickwad. Ugh, I'm just jealous because I want a Segway or something like it.
Or a part in the movie.
Look, I want to be a comedian and I want to be in films. I'd be like, you know what, fuck you guys, I'll be in your movie.
Right. Oh, okay.
You didn't let me finish.
Oh, well, thank you.
You gotta let me finish. The first part to that question, there's two parts. There's a two-part answer to that question. First part is, fuck you guys. Second part is, when do I start? eat shit and die, and when do I get started? And how much am I making? When do you pay me, fuckwads?
No, I wouldn't.
Seriously, I would. I'd be like, even Saturday Night Live. I think Saturday Night Live has gotten better. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a period of time where I think Saturday Night Live was just shit. The only good parts were digital shorts. But now now we're on entertainment in general. We're completely off the rails with what's going on.
Yeah, we're off
the rails with Jared Leto's Joker. And here's the reason why. We are underwhelmed by the Detective Comics cinematic universe. Mm. I'm underwhelmed by it. You're underwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
We're underwhelmed by it to the point that we're talking about releasing movies straight to VOD and talking about how that's a more enjoyable experience sometimes than seeing movies in theaters. I think if they would have released Suicide Squad as a straight to video release, it would have been not only more successful, but it would have recouped all that money faster and people would have been less critical.
Yeah.
It would have been like an attachment to Batman versus Superman, BVS or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Like it would have been like a fun little like add-on to BVS.
Yeah. A little web series.
Yeah, it would have been like a fun like it would have been released like only on, it's like, well, we're not going to distribute it in theaters. We're only going to release it like through iTunes and Amazon like The Interview. Like I think that would have like done it more of a service. People would have people would have watched it at home. Yeah. And they would have loved it. Like, because they'd be at home and they'd be like, you know what? I didn't go all the way to the fucking theater to watch this.
Yeah.
I this is a good enough movie to watch just at home.
Yeah.
And it's worth just sitting down and watching at home and be like, you know what? I'm glad I didn't go all the way to the movie theater and spend $15. I'm glad I stayed at home and only spent 10 or 12 at most instead of like 15, 17. Or if you're seeing in 3D, 30.
Or you could break it up into a series. You could, like, draw it out.
Webisode it, yeah. Webisode it, just put it on Netflix. Like, again.
Netflix.
Dude, we always go back to turn it into a TV series. Just make it into a TV series, and it'd be way better. And be like, yeah, but they want to make movies, too.
Well, I wasn't thinking Netflix. I was just thinking, okay, well, you know, we're going to post this week's update on our website.
Let's just stay on the article.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, honestly, because, I mean, look. It's hard to stay on this article because, and you know the reason why.
Mm.
You're trying to be nice about it, but I'm not. I'm not going to be nice about it. I'm past that. I don't give a fuck anymore.
Mm.
The DC movies have sucked up until the latest one, Wonder Woman. Now, we haven't seen Wonder Woman yet, but everyone's saying Wonder Woman is amazing. If the buzz is that good, must be good movie, right?
Right.
Okay. Good. Can't wait to see it.
Good.
If that's the game changer, then moving forward, we need to, you know, like forward.
Everybody needs to catch up to Wonder Woman.
Yeah, then everyone needs to catch up to Wonder Woman. So you're so like, yeah, but that's the thing. You are like, yeah, the movies have kind of sucked and they've been lame and yeah, it's been underwhelming and yeah, we're disappointing.
Yeah, yeah, I could take it or leave it.
Everyone's like, take them or leave them.
Yeah,
and it sucks because they've been building them up and we should be like Suicide Squad. I was so down. I was so happy and excited that they were making it, and then the trailer was so amazing, and they really fucked us on it. They really like built it up to just say, sorry, we didn't have much to show you. Like, David Ayer was trying to make a different movie, but we blew it way out of proportion because we underwhelmed you with Batman versus Superman. Right. And then we kind of misled you to thinking it was going to be like a Marvel movie. So now we're like, fuck, sorry. So now we're like acknowledging we fucked up with that and we made Wonder Woman good. Now we saw, oh, you liked Wonder Woman. Now they're going to try and make everything like Wonder Woman. But Justice League isn't Wonder Woman. It's all of the heroes.
Right.
It's like Iron Man is a different. I hate doing the comparison game, but the story of Ant-Man isn't going to be the same story of Captain America. You know, like he came from the 1920s, 30s era of World War II, Brooklyn. Like, come on, like it's. That is different than Scott Lang, who is a fucking petty thief and just trying to get by, and then like Hank Pym hires him to do a job to like steal his shit back, and that's a way different character arc, man. Those are way different things, way different movies. But when you put them together, that's like chocolate and peanut butter coming together. You're like, oh yeah, baby, it tastes good.
Although
that's the point you're trying to make with these movies.
Yeah,
that's what you're trying to get with these films. But if you're trying to make it all cookie cutter like Wonder Woman, because Wonder Woman's good and you're going to try and make it all like Wonder Woman now, you're going to do it a disservice. They all need to be different flavors, bold flavors that all mix well together.
Yep.
Don't make them all like Wonder Woman. But they're going to make Justice League like Wonder Woman. And they're going to try and push Joss Whedon to make it like Wonder Woman. Now. Because Wonder Woman's their fucking standard.
Well, if they can.
Because that's what Warner Brothers does. They find their standard and they just stick to it.
Yeah.
God damn it. Stop doing that, Warner Brothers. I love you guys. I love your movies. I grew up on them. I fucking am mad because I give a shit. I love. I yell at you because I love you. I hit you because I love you. Don't you get it, Warner Brothers? I only abuse you because you abuse me. You hit me in the paycheck, you know? You hit me in my fucking pocket, all right, guys? That's why I give a shit, and I'm a fan. I grew up on it. Armando, final thoughts. Please, sorry. I'm not demanding it. I'm just saying, Armando, finish them off. Finish these fuckers off, Armando.
I hope
fuck them, Dano.
I hope they make the next movies good, like goddamn Wonder Woman.
Goddamn right, Dano. Fuck them, Dano. That's what I'm going to say from now on. I wonder if Paul Dano ever got that growing up. Actor Paul Dano? Book him, Dano.
Of what?
From Hawaii Five-0.
Oh.
Best theme song ever. I swear to God, that Magnum P.I. Yeah, and then Hawaii Five-0. It's just too good. It's too fucking good. And yet again, we've demonstrated that we are Beavis and Butthead. Mike Judge needs to reach out to us, and he needs to make that web series on YouTube where Beavis and Butthead grew up. They're in their 30s, and they have a YouTube channel. We just did on another audio audition.
Yes.
We did our vocal, what it would sound like if we did Beavis and Butthead rocking out to theme songs from the 70s. So that's going to do it for that article. Don't forget, you can check out fucking Jared Leto's weird ass in Blade Runner 2049 doing weird shit October 6th, being weird. All right, Armando. So that was some big news there with Jared Leto and all getting that shit off our chest. Whew, we can move forward. The palate is cleansed. The hate train is over. We can move on and we can hope that they're not going to fuck up from now on, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, you can hope.
Here's the next story. The Han Solo movie lost its two directors, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller.
What?
All right. Now, check this out. The switch hitter replacement director, the guy that they got to fill in last minute is Ron Howard. Holy shit. Talk about upgrade. Dude. Ron Howard? Yes. I'm like, Han Solo, Ron Howard's directing a young Han Solo movie with Donald Glover as fucking Lando Calrissian? Yes. Ron Howard was going to do the Gunslinger Dark Tower movies. Ron Howard has done all sorts of awesome fucking movies. Ron Howard's a great filmmaker, and he's going to direct young, still untitled, young Han Solo adventures, aka A Star Wars Story, Han Solo.
Yeah.
Episode 7, the Kessel Run heist, y'all. That we wrote years ago, that we've already written for them, and they're ripping us off clearly. So what do you think about that, man? I mean, that like Ron Howard directing young Han Solo.
Yeah, that's
with wow. And Woody Harrelson's playing Dad Solo. Basically, he's not really, but it's basically Dad Solo.
Right. I can't wait.
I know, right? Isn't that oddly fitting? Yeah. Isn't that an oddly, like, you know what? I could see Ron Howard directing it and doing a really good job.
Yeah.
I could see that being an awesome, bold, interesting, badass choice. Why not Ron Howard? Why not? He's done action. Mm-hmm. He's done, like, great films. Well, dude, the two directors dropped out.
Right.
The original directors dropped out.
Right.
They left.
I'm kind of wondering
why. Let me reiterate. Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, like they I don't know what happened with that, actually. I don't know if they left or if Disney kicked them out. I gotta check into that. Sorry we're taking the time to do that during the actual recording, guys, but I need to know why. Here we go. We got a statement from Lucasfilm. Lucasfilm announced on Thursday, "At Lucasfilm, we believe the highest goal of each film is to delight, carry forward the spirit of the saga that George Lucas began 40 years ago." Kathleen Kennedy, president of Lucasfilm, said in a statement, "With that in mind, we're thrilled to announce that Ron Howard will step in to direct the untitled Han Solo film. We have a wonderful script, an incredible cast and crew, and the absolute commitment to make a great movie." He's taking over for Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, who left the film over creative differences. Oh, no. Oh, no. Fuck. It's starting already, Armando. Mm. It's already happening. No. Don't DC this shit, guys. Sorry, I hate to relate it to the previous story, but Disney.
I thought we were past that.
Disney. No. What are you doing? No. Creative differences? What creative differences? Okay, now this isn't necessarily a bad thing because Edgar Wright left Ant-Man, right? Mm-hmm. And who stepped in? What's his name? Adam McKay, and he did a great job with Ant-Man, and I loved what he did with that movie. He stepped in to help write the script and adapt it for the other guy who came in to direct it for Edgar Wright, but Adam McKay basically, he didn't direct it, but he helped shepherd it. So it's not necessarily a bad thing when directors leave, but dude,
yeah,
they left a Star Wars movie,
right?
And it was the young Han Solo movie,
right?
And they left over creative differences. Granted, Ron Howard's a great filmmaker and he's going to do an awesome job, I'm sure, but damn.
Yeah.
That's unexpected. I mean, I'm excited about Ron Howard directing it now. I'm like, dope, Ron Howard's going to do a great job. But I'm like, yo, Christopher Miller, Phil Lord, they had a really cool idea for this, and now they're off of it. Why? What was with the creative differences? Look, we don't have a title for this thing yet, but it's got a release date.
Yeah.
They got a script. They got a cast. They're filming it. They have a release date, but they still don't have a title. This is the first time I've ever heard of this.
Kind
of
like a nightmare.
I've never heard of this. Like, and then they lost the directors, and they got Ron Howard, and they're filming it now with Ron Howard, and the directors left, and they still don't have a title, and they have a release date.
I hope Disney doesn't want to like jam family friendly Han Solo down our throats.
I don't know, dude, but okay, here's Ron. Okay, if in case you're worried and you need a reminder on Ron Howard's filmography, just to get back to that, Apollo 13 directed that. A Beautiful Mind directed that as well. That's just a few of my favorite Ron Howard things. I mean, Alden Ehrenreich, he's the young Han Solo. We'll get that. Well, we got a statement from Ron Howard himself. He goes on to say, "It's a little opportunity that came my way. I've been a fan forever. It's gratifying to be asked to lend my voice to the Star Wars universe. So many people involved in the Star Wars franchise are friends. It's already been in production, and there's a lot of really great work there." He also took to Twitter, with brief statements saying, I'm beyond grateful to add my voice to the Star Wars universe after being a fan for so long. He even recalls seeing the movie for the first time in 1977, having gone to see it with his wife, Cheryl, after waiting in line for 2 hours. Ron Howard was a huge star back in the 70s, and he had to wait for 2 hours to see the first movie for the first time. Ron Howard had to wait in line for 2 hours.
Ron,
that's how big.
Howard.
But even Ron, Ron Howard was like in the 1970s. He was fucking on Happy Days.
Happy Days. Yep.
He was like Richie Cunningham, yo.
Yep.
He was also Opie from the fucking Andy Griffith Show. So Ron Howard was a huge star in the 70s. He had to wait 2 hours in line. And he was on Happy Days then. That's like, that would be like if John Hamm had to wait in two hours in line to see The Force Awakens. Mm. It'd be like if John Hamm or Shia LaBeouf had to wait 2 hours in line to see A Force Awakens. It'd be something like that, like nowadays.
Right.
It's that weird. It's that like, wow, that's how big of a movie it is. So no wonder he's got respect for this shit. He had to wait in line when he was a superstar to see it. He's like, God damn, this must be a good fucking movie. And so damn it was. So right then and there, I'm like, okay, this guy's got an appreciation for it. And he's a good director. So I'm already like, he's got reverence. He understands. But he's still switch hitting as a director. So this is Ron Howard's recanting of it. I was transported by the movie. We literally left almost speechless. They immediately got back into line and waited another 90 minutes to see it again. Huh. Superstar Richie Cunningham waited. He saw it. Basically, like, remember when I was saying, like, my prediction for when I see Valerian in the City of 1,000 Planets is I'm going to go into the movie. I'm going to be like, oh, my God, it's too future. It's too much future. I'm going to go outside of the theater, stand outside for 10 minutes, like, just like my brain buzzing, turn around, go back in, watch it again, go, walk out again and go, I think I remember the first 5 seconds. That's what happened to Ron Howard with Star Wars.
Right.
He was a superstar. Dude, who knows? Maybe that inspired him to be a director. So he went back in 90 minutes. He waited again. After waiting in line for 2 hours to see a movie for 2 hours, he waited another 90 minutes to see it again. Wow, dude. That's a nerd. I'm like, you know what? Good. I'm glad you're doing the Han Solo movie. That I was already sold because it's Ron Howard. And it's, you know, Apollo 13, Beautiful Mind, great director. But, dude, that's like, okay, not bad. Good switch hitting on that one. Like, this is going to be a good time, I hope. But it still sounds like a mess.
Yeah.
The report from Variety also says that a good 3/4 of the movie was already done when the directors departed. And Howard has already begun work on the movie with shooting set to pick up again on July 10th. Followed by 5 weeks of reshoots later this year. That's about a month and a half of reshoots.
Huh.
The general consensus over Lucasfilm's decision to hire Howard is that ultimately it was a safe call. The man has more than enough experience with actors, visual set pieces, and large crews to get everything done smoothly, which right now is all that matters. Some are worried he's not the right choice, statistically speaking, to helm the movie. But, dude, like, I've liked most of what he's directed in recent years. Rush was good, In the Heart of the Sea, and the Beatles 8 Days a Week documentary he did was fantastic. It was really, really well done because it was done from their perspective, and it was footage that a lot of them had never seen before. I mean, wow. You got to see this documentary. It's great. Basically, I have faith Ron Howard can do the movie justice thanks to his passion and professionalism alone. An exciting bit to note is that given his recent work with Chris Hemsworth, a Thor/Star Wars crossover has never been more possible. And I'm only kind of joking.
Hmm.
What if Thor ended up in Star Wars? Disney owns Star Wars and Marvel. What if the Guardians of the Galaxy showed up? I'm just saying.
Well,
Han Solo comes out. They're not saying what it is, but they're just calling it Han Solo for now. Comes out May 2018, and The Last Jedi will precede it on December What?
Will precede it?
And the Jedi will precede it on December 15th. The Last Jedi.
Oh, this year.
Yeah. The third Star Wars movie isn't The Jedi. Because if the second one is called The Last Jedi, it'd be kind of lame to call it The Jedi. You're like, oh, The Last Jedi. Seriously, this is the Last Jedi. It's this guy. Hey, I'm back. Remember me? It's Mark Hamill, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Hamill.
Hey, I'm back. I got a beard and I'm ready to kick ass. Let's fuck some shit up, everybody. I'm Mark Hamill. I was the Joker for 20 years. One of the best. Seriously, why don't we just get Mark Hamill to play the Joker?
I was just thinking that.
What? Like, sorry, Jared. I love you, Jared Leto. You're a great actor, but let's just get Mark Hamill to play the Joker. Finally, yeah. For once, can we do
Mark
it?
Mark Hamill, just put on the makeup.
For once, let the man play the Joker in real life. Explain the age. It doesn't matter how old he is. Fuck it. You know he'd be great.
Yep.
Dude, I've seen him in like VO sessions when he's doing the Joker and they do side-by-side comparison and they show his physical acting while he's doing the voice is better than the animation. And they've based a lot of the animation on his movements and facial structure. Like they would just, like the animators would be like, wow, it's Mark Hamill and his voice is so good. Let's film him. So they would film him and be like, oh my God, he would be a great Joker. But he never got the chance. Do it now. There's so many multiverses in DC that there's a, like, literally, there are. Like, I'm not even kidding, dude. Like, there's so many super...
This Justice League takes place in the non-shitty multiverse.
I'm saying, like, you know what? If there's so many multiverses there and there's so many different Jokers, why couldn't there be an older Joker and a younger Batman?
Yeah.
Why the if there's an older Batman, why isn't there an older Joker?
Yeah.
If Batman's supposed to be, like, in his, like, 50s or some shit, why wouldn't the Joker be in his 60s or 70s at this point? Or 80s. Or, I mean, 60s. I love you, Mark Hamill. I love you, Luke Skywalker. I'll never forget you. You are my last Jedi. You will always be my last Jedi. I can only hope you will be my last Jedi, Luke Skywalker.
You are the Force.
You are my Force. And you awoke me.
You're with me.
You always awaken me. I can't shake him. Oh, geez, Uncle Owen, I was going to go to Tosche Station and pick up some power converters. It was his first real big role. I'm just saying. He was playing a dumb hayseed kind of kid in that first movie.
Well,
so it's allowed that he was a dumb kid.
I was waiting for you to say something about torpedoes and exhaust ports.
Oh, you mean like I've hit womp rats? Wait, now I'm sounding like Morty.
Oh yeah,
from Rick and Morty. Dude, what do you think? Han Solo, Ron Howard directing. This is a mixed bag of shit, isn't it?
Fingers crossed.
This is a big old mixed bag of good and bad news, man.
Right.
I'm like, fuck. They've delayed it. Fuck. They're doing reshoots. Wait a minute. Ron Howard's stepping in. Mm. Awesome. Fuck. They've shot 3/4 of it. Wait. It's coming out May 2018. They're still holding true. Good. Woody Harrelson's still involved. They still got a script. They still like the script. Awesome. Okay. Ron Howard is a big fan. Awesome. They still don't have a title. Fuck. So that's why I keep going back and forth on this, dude. I'm like, this is a big old mixed bag of bullshit. Well, I'm like, well,
I mean,
it's
Ron
good and
Howard
bad.
Howard is basically the only good part about that.
No, it isn't.
What?
Donald Glover. As Lando. Mm-hmm. Young Lando Calrissian. Why, hello there.
True.
Come on. I can't wait. And Alden Ehrenreich, most German name ever, playing Han Solo. Dude, that's pitch perfect casting, man. Like seriously, he looks like young Harrison Ford. And when you see him smile and act, he's got that same kind of, hey, how's it going? Like, I'm Harrison Ford and I'm sexy. But I don't give a shit. Whatever. I know you want to fuck me, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a pothead. Don't tell anyone I'm kind of a burnout. He was hired to play Han Solo when he was a carpenter, and he was literally just, he was mopping the floors, and George Lucas was like, hey, Harrison. And he's like, what? Fucking what, George? I'm casting this movie. You want to help? He's like, oh, God damn it. All right. He's like, What is this shit? That's a science fiction movie. All right, that sounds pretty cool. Like, whatever. Who's all right, this is Mark Hamill. Hi, it's really nice to meet you. I'm really excited. Yeah, fucking whatever. All right, let's read. He seems kind of mean. Wait, I'm not such a bad pilot myself. We don't have to pay you. Listen, kid. And he's all stoned. And he's just literally mopping up the floor, doesn't give a fuck. He's like, whatever, I'm getting paid. Listen, kid, I don't give a shit about your plans. I'm going to do what I want. Yes, this is my space pirate. Meanwhile, he didn't realize he just hired a burnout, like, janitor carpenter. Harrison Ford was a 35-year-old, like literal, like, construction worker who just literally got picked up for the job.
Really? You didn't even do acting before that?
He was trying to be an actor, kind of, but he was just mainly a carpenter. He was 35 when he was Han Solo.
Yeah.
Motherfucker just happened to be, like, cleaning the floors, and Tom Selleck, Magnum, so odd we talked about Magnum P.I. earlier. Tom Selleck was almost Indiana Jones. And not only Indiana Jones, he was almost Han Solo. And Gary Busey was almost Han Solo. How fucking what? Weird would that have been? You know what SOBER stands for? Son of a bitch, everything's real. It's abuseyism. I'm crazy. Do you want crazy Harry, do you want crazy Han Solo or grumpy Han Solo? Wow. I want crazy Han Solo. Get Gary Busey to come back as an alternate world Han Solo. I see colors in different spectrums of realities. Fuck yes you do. I love Gary Busey. I want him to have his own podcast. Like, every Sunday, he just goes on and on about nothing. I just want to hear Gary Busey, just like Alex Jones, just Gary Busey hour. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm worried.
Yeah, I'm concerned. We have to talk, Han Solo.
Yeah, look, guys, young Han Solo Adventures, A Star Wars Story, Episode 1 of Kessel Run, possibly. As the unofficial producers who wrote this script for you guys years ago with Alex Chancey, writer, director, indie filmmaker, with Chris Nauman, we pretty much figured out what this movie is. It's going to be the Kessel heist. You guys are going to get the Falcon to Han Solo, and he won it from Lando in a poker match. Woody Harrelson is Dad Solo. We got it. We already wrote this. We already told you guys what the movie is. You're just making our movie. Don't fuck this one up. Don't make it family friendly. Keep true to the vision that you're starting with this movie, and stay true to that vision. If you're going to adjust anything, just make it more just Star Wars-y. How about that? If you're going to do anything, if you're going to change anything about the young Han Solo adventures, make it more Star Wars-y. And you know what I mean by that, Armando? The vibe in the first three?
Hey.
The first three. Not episode 1, 2, and 3, but like 4, 5, and 6.
How about make all the aliens with your Muppets studio?
That's what I mean. More Star Wars-y. More like the original trilogy.
Right.
Yeah. Like, keep doing that. Yeah. Like, keep that vibe going. Like, I felt that vibe in moments in the Force Awakens. I felt that. Right. Even in Rogue One, I had those Star Wars-y vibes. You guys, like, keep it going with the Star Wars-y vibes, but don't Rogue One this. Because Rogue One had reshoots, too, and alternate plots and takes and endings and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
But it turned out great,
but
right?
It turned out pretty great, right?
Right.
For me, it did. I liked it.
For you, it did. Okay.
I did switch around and say,
not
we,
so much
look,
for me.
Here's the thing about Rogue One. We didn't need it, but I still liked it. The whole time I'm watching, I'm like, yeah, awesome, great. And at the end of it, I'm like, I didn't need to see it, but I liked watching it. Fucking, if it was a fucking Netflix original series, you'd watch it.
I don't even know about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you would, dickwad.
I would watch maybe the first episode or
you
two.
You would. You know you
then
would.
Then I would get bored.
You would watch everything if it was a fucking TV series.
I think Rogue One...
Because they have a better... You have more of a chance to expand on that story.
I think Rogue One would make a better video game.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, moving along. With all the news surrounding the replacement of directors Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, fans are expecting a severe case of deja vu, preliminarily, reflecting on the time that Edgar Wright and Marvel split over creative differences on Ant-Man. Now, we've got some quotes from Edgar Wright regarding this split. Maybe we talked about this earlier. Here we go. Edgar Wright goes on to say, in my most annoyingly British accent voice I can pontificate with, indeed, I think the most diplomatic answer is I wanted to make a Marvel movie, but I don't think they really wanted to make an Edgar Wright movie. It was really, I don't know who that is. That's not Edgar Wright at all. That's like Alec Guinness, but like when he was younger. It was a really heartbreaking decision to have to walk away after having worked hard on it for so long. Because me and Joe Cornish, in some form, it's funny, some people say, oh, they've been working on it for 8 years, and that was somewhat true. But in that time, I had made 3 movies, so it wasn't like I was working on it full time. But after The World's End, I did work on it for like a year. I was going to make the movie, but then I was the writer-director on it, and then they wanted to do a draft without me. And having written all my other movies, that's a tough thing to move forward, thinking if I do one of these movies, I would like to be the writer-director. Suddenly becoming a director for hire on it, you're sort of less emotionally invested, and you start to wonder why you're there. Well, thank you for some fucking truth and honesty and integrity, and Edgar Wright. God damn. I appreciate that.
Yep.
Fuck. Finally, dude. Yeah. You know what? That's me applauding. That's the sound of one bandaged hand. What? I don't know what you're talking about. Applauding you, Edgar Wright, for your honesty and your candor. Wow. Very well put. I mean, that's what I thought was happening. Mm-hmm. He wanted to make his own movie, and they're like, we want you to direct our movie.
Right.
That's exactly what I thought was happening. And right. That's what happened, and he just said it. Right. God damn it. I've been right this whole time, Armando.
Right, right.
We've all been right. This is bullshit. Sorry, any fan of Edgar Wright's work knows that every movie he directs, he also writes, from Shaun of the Dead to Baby Driver. Then we have a trailer reaction for Baby Driver. Dude, that movie looks dope. Check out Baby Driver. Go to our YouTube channel, Simmer Mike. You can watch our reaction there. We were so, like, down for that movie, and then when I saw that Edgar Wright was the director, I was like, dude, if that was what he was going to do with Ant-Man, what the fuck? Check out our reaction to that. We were super excited and genuinely excited about that. You'll see our genuine excitement. It's really, if you're into that sort of thing, you'll love it.
You freaks. You fucking freaks.
Fucking weirdos. Thanks for subscribing and liking, assholes. I love you to death. Now, this is, of course, key in concocting Wright's brand of silliness, but it's also fundamental for him to get to the heart of a film so he can establish the visual style and tone when he gets on set. Now, when you take that away from Edgar Wright for the sake of getting their own people on it, Marvel removed a key aspect of Edgar Wright's creative process, which understandably made him feel less invested. A good script is a man's baby. In the end, Peyton Reed helmed the movie and did a great job. Adam McKay helped rework the script, and Edgar Wright and Cornish were still credited on the original script and story. Even Wright sees a silver lining in the dark cloud, and he left the movie, as leaving the movie, allowed him to get started on his new movie, that Baby Driver. He goes on to say, Edgar Wright, the good thing that came out of it is I got to kind of move on to Baby Driver, which was a script that I had already written, and maybe one of the ironies about it is I had thought in the back of my head, well, if the Marvel movie does well, maybe I'll have enough muscle to get Baby Driver made. And so it's ironic, I guess, that I didn't make the movie and got Baby Driver made with the studio, which for an original movie is very rare. And the other important thing for me is almost the entirety of my crew who were going to do that movie sort of left it in solidarity. So it was really important to me to get another film going so I could kind of re-employ them all. So the funny thing about Baby Driver is pretty much features all of the people who are going to do fucking Ant-Man. Dude, I told you this is what he was going to do with Ant-Man. Damn it. I know this industry too well, Armando Aranda. Huh. Yeah, I can't. Armando, I can't.
You've been in here too long.
I need your thoughts, Armando. I'm pissed because I'm right, and I don't want to be right, and Edgar Wright has proven me right, and thank you, Edgar Wright, and it's ironic, I acknowledging the irony that you are helping proving me right, and your name is Edgar Wright, and I love your movies, too. By the way, Baby Driver hits theaters. It's it's out. By the time you're hearing this, Baby Driver's out. Go see Baby Driver.
Yeah,
we're going to go see it and do a review. We're going to see Wonder Woman as well. We also have to see a bunch of others. Oh, shit.
We just have like a marathon.
You know what?
Session.
Let's go one day to the multiplex and just see fucking 3 movies in a row and then do a fucking major ass review. We'll do a three in a row review. How crazy would that be? Fuck it. Well, audacious maybe, but we'll get back to you guys. All right, here we go. Last story for this nerd update. The question is, Is Harrison Ford's Deckard a replicant or not? God damn it. This is more of a hypothetical thing we're ending on.
Oh.
Blade Runner, 2049. Check it out. Okay, the one question on everyone's head that's been hotly debated in fandom since the first Blade Runner came out like 30 years ago was, is fucking Deckard a robot or not? Is he a replicant? Is Harrison Ford's character? Now, that wasn't really technically a no. I mean,
yeah, like, they didn't have a conclusive answer to that.
Or technically a yes. But, you know, Ridley Scott, when producer Ridley Scott had an interview with IGN, this is how he answered when the question came up. Oh, it was always my thesis theory. Harrison Ford was never, I don't remember actually. I think Harrison was going, I don't know about that. I said, but you have to be because Gaff, who leaves a trail of origami everywhere, will leave you a little piece of origami at the end of the movie to say, I've been here, I left her alive, and I can't resist letting you know what's in your most private thoughts when you get drunk is a fucking unicorn, right? So I love Beavis and Butthead, so what should follow that is duh, so now it will be revealed in the sequel, one way or the other. What?
So I barely understood that.
What the fuck was that? What? What?
So,
okay, Armando, help me understand what Ridley Scott just... I love Ridley Scott, but help me understand him right now. I love him.
I think he's saying in this coming movie that they will answer that question.
Okay, I'm going to read the quote again, and we're going to try and figure this out.
I don't think...
Here we go.
No, why?
It's too late, Armando. Round two. Yeah. Slower this time. Oh, it was always my thesis theory. Harrison Ford, he was never, dash, I don't remember, actually. I think Harrison was going, I don't know about that. I said, but you have to be, because Gaff, who leaves a trail of origami everywhere, will leave you a little piece of origami at the end of the movie to say, I've been here, I left her alive, and I can't resist letting you know what's in your most private thoughts when you get drunk. Is a fucking unicorn, right? So I love Beavis and Butthead, so what should follow that is duh, so now it will be revealed in the sequel, one way or the other.
So he loves Beavis and Butthead.
Well, I think it's great that he loves Beavis and Butthead, because we love Beavis and Butthead too. We've been told that we remind people of Beavis and Butthead, and Beavis and Butthead comes up often. God damn it, we're Beavis and Butthead grown up, all right, guys? Like, fine, we're admitting it. My name's Beavis and Butthead. We're grown up. Our real names are Mike and Armando. Those are our real names, but on the TV show, we had to call ourselves Beavis and Butthead, okay? Fuck. Yeah. Whoa, weird. What? Fucking weird, dude. Every time, I swear, when we do that, it's weird. Okay, so we're going to find out the answer in the new film soon, I guess, based on that quote. However, I'm most intrigued that Ridley Scott seems to be a fan of Beavis and Butthead. That seems awesome. So, kudos. Either way, Blade Runner 2049 will hit theaters October 5th. All right.
All right.
What the fuck is that quote about, dude?
I don't know.
I'm like, that quote.
Well, that's a new mystery.
That quote to me is like him... That's like he's like, oh, fuck, I can't answer this question.
Fans have been trying to figure it out for 25 years.
He said, oh, it was always my thesis theory. Harrison Ford, he was never. What? He was never what? He was almost going to answer it. He was never human. He was never a replicant. And then he says, I don't remember. You old man, you can't lie to me, old man. You can't play the old man card with me, Ridley Scott. You just made Prometheus and fucking Alien Covenant, and you're working on this Blade Runner thing, sequel, and then you got another Alien movie. Goddamn it, Ridley Scott. You can't play the old man card with me. You're up to something. You know what? Fuck it, Armando. I think Harrison Ford's Deckard is a human. Mm-hmm. Or he's replicant that can age.
Yeah, right?
Fuck.
Because it's 2049.
He's either a human or a replicant that can age or a hybrid.
Yeah,
there
right.
you go. I don't care.
Yeah, they like hybrids.
Because why
lately.
Is he older? Why is he older? He's either a human, a replicant that can age, or a hybrid that ages.
Or maybe they can make just like another replicant. Yeah.
Fuck.
Or just like.
God damn it. We'll
or
never.
Just an old looking replicant.
We're ending the nerd update.
Or Deckard was there. A human and they made a replicant.
See,
Deckard.
It's just. It'll never end. Keep going, Armando.
And it looks like him.
Or it's all just a dream.
It's a dream.
Within a dream within a dream. And all that we see or see him is but a dream within a dream. And we're ending we're ending the nerd update on an Edgar Allan Poe quote. That's awesome as fuck. I love Edgar Allan Poe. All that we see or see him is but a dream within a dream. And that basically can sum up what you want to take from the Blade Runner original movie, like from back in the day. That's or the new one. I mean, hopefully the new one will answer the Deckard question, but will leave us with new questions that will be left unanswered for another 30 years with Ryan Gosling. And then he can come back when he's 60 and be like, brr, 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 brr. And then another guy comes in, brr, 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 and then like it goes up another octave. That'd be wonderful. But yeah, final thoughts, Armando Aranda. Do you think that Deckard is a replicant or not?
Well, the Deckard we see in the first movie?
Yep.
Huh. Oh, crap. Probably no.
I think he's not.
Probably no.
I think he's probably not, but if he is some sort of weird hybrid, then that's what he is. If anything.
And we accept him.
And we're fine with it. We accept him as is. We accept Ryan Gosling as a weird cyborg, if that's what he is, yep. Or a full-blown replicant. I don't give a shit. This movie looks dope. I'm going to go see it. Ridley Scott, I love you, and I love that you love Beavis and Butthead, because that's Armando and myself.
So thank you, Ridley Scott.
Thank you for being fans of our work. Mm. We dig you as well. you do some pretty cool shit. But don't forget, all that you see or seem is but a dream within a dream. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in and geeking out with us. Holy shit, Armando, that's been quite the fucking nerd out, hasn't it?
Yep.
God damn. Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc., like that Facebook page, and of course, download, like, and subscribe for free on iTunes as well as Podomatic. That website is yotina.podomatic.com. Said it once, say it again.
Yotina.
Dot.
Podomatic.
Dot.
Come.
Oh my God. Suck a dick, Team Awesome Inc. What? Sorry I said that. Call your mother, tell her you love her.
This has been Team Awesome. Team Jack, Awesome. Jack. Life on experience. Awesome. Well, you know we're doing just awesome. So right.
Awesome.
Breathe.
Here at Team Awesome, me.
Wait,
shut up.
Yeah.